This is Brenda Beth. Let's turn it up. Let's turn it on. Josie Fasentino is playing that song.
It's time again for the Josie Show Special Edition. Tonight, Josie welcomes Sammy Sadler. I'm Alan Firestone with Tina Pasentino. And now, of course, she likes to eat her cereal straight from the box, your host, Josie Pasentino.
Introductions just keep getting crazier and crazier. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Josie Show Special Edition episode. We're very, very glad to have you guys all joining us. So tonight we bring you an interview with the very talented Sammy Sadler, whose name I'm pretty sure will ring a bell with you, as he is the survivor of the real murder on Music Row. We have the honor and privilege of speaking with him tonight about that night that changed so much in his life and about his amazing new music out. We'll even have some songs off of his new CD, Heart Shaped Like Texas, to play with y'all tonight. Sammy is an amazing survivor with a warm heart, incredible talent, and a smile that could pretty much just light up the room whenever he just goes in. So it's all good. And Sammy will be joining us in just a minute. But first, a couple announcements. We have 12 special edition episodes up now, so you can check those out by going to our website at josieshow.com and click on the Special Editions tab. You can check out our episodes with Aaron Tippin, Glenn Douglas Tubb, David Church, Eric Lee Bedingfield, Ray Price, our tribute show, and our full interview with Mr. Ray Price himself, Justin Trevino, Bill Green, Jack and Misty, Tia Goins, Tony Booth, and Sheila Ray Charles. So check those out. Those are all up on josieshow.com. Now, without any further ado, let me bring on my guest tonight. Please welcome Mr. Sammy Sadler. Yeah.
Hey, Josie. How's
it Yeah. Definitely. We've got to get the applause in there. Exactly. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to talk to you.
It's so good to talk to you. I've been reading all about you, checked out your website, and your story is incredible, and I'm excited to hear about it tonight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having us on the show tonight.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So I kind of want to, you know, get started a little bit in the beginning of your career with music, and then we can move on to everything else. But first, what is your earliest memory of making music? When did everything start for you?
Well, I mean, I started at a young age, you know. I mean, I had music, I guess, in me when I was just a kid, you know, and I traveled around Texas. I live in Texas and was born in Memphis, Tennessee, and raised in Texas all my life. So at about the age of, I don't know, sophomore in high school, I got the music bug in me and started going around traveling around a bunch of Opry's out here in Texas and started my career that way.
Wow, awesome, awesome. Did you come from a musical family, or are you the only one kind of musically?
No, you know, I'm the only one in my family that does it. I guess it's just a God-given talent that he gave me, you know, and just thankful that, you know, he gave me this talent and put music in me at an early age, you know.
Exactly. And you have had so much success as well with your music, if I understand correctly. By the time you were 21, you already hit the top of the charts 6 times. Wow. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, I got a record deal right out of high school at 18, you know, and that was back in the early 80s. I graduated in 84 and got a record deal right out of high school. But before I got the record deal, I'd become the lead singer of a group called Perfect Stranger, which I don't know if you're familiar with those guys, but they ended up after I was the lead singer for those guys for about three and a half years. They went on to hire another singer and ended up having a top 5 record called You Have the Right to Remain Silent. That was a big record for them on Curb Records.
Mm, wow. Wow. So, but you know what? I just think it's so incredible, everything that you have done. I mean, you know, not a lot of people could say that they've, you know, hit the top of the charts 6 times. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, people are excited to just have one chart-topping song. So that's awesome.
Well, we were back in the 80s, you know, whenever record companies signed artists, you know, they didn't, back then they wouldn't cut a full album on you. They would just put out singles before mm-hmm. they would ever cut an album on you. And ironically, it's kind of, in today's world of music, that's kind of how it's going back to where they're just putting singles out, not putting albums out, you know, unless you're having successful singles. But back in the 80s, you know, that's kind of what happened with us. They put out six singles on us, and every one of those singles had charted on every music magazine chart that they had back then. So, you know, our career was definitely ramping up to start an album whenever the tragedy hit us with the shooting on Music Row.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I wanted to touch about that next, you know, everybody knows about Murder on Music Row. You know, it's a big thing, and still people are talking about it, where Kevin Hughes was murdered and you were terribly wounded and left for dead. Kind of a story about, you know, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Can you tell us what you remember from that night?
Well, you know, Kevin and I had known each other for about 7 months and were becoming good friends. And I had a record out at the time. When all this happened, we was on our 6th single, one of the 6 that we've been talking about, and we went mm-hmm. in the studio and cut the old Aaron Neville song, Tell It Like It Is, and that was the fastest rising record of my career at the time, and it was, I believe it was in the 40s on mm-hmm. the charts whenever the Murder on Music Row happened, and after that night that we got shot, Billy Joe Royal had put out the same song and cut the same song and named his album Tell It Like It Is, and it still remains and took the record to number 2 and remains the biggest record of his career.
Wow. Wow. I mean, you know, Kevin Hughes was a great friend of yours. Can you share with us a little bit about Kevin Hughes? Tell us who was he? What was he like?
Well, Kevin and I obviously became friends through the music, and Kevin was the chart manager for Cashbox magazine back in 1989, and I got to know Kevin through, you know, the music industry, and like I said, we had known each other for about 7 months. You know, we didn't know each other that well, but in 7 months, as you can know about somebody, but as in time would have went on, I feel like we would have been great friends. And mm-hmm. at the time, you know, Kevin, you know, to my knowledge, was a great guy, and I found out he was a Christian, and, you know, I just feel like in time we would have become really good friends, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. At that moment, you know, can you recall anything that you were thinking in that moment, you know, that night? What did anything pop in your head that you still remember to this day?
I mean, obviously, I mean, I've got a scar on my arm where I had to have 2 surgeries and 100 mm-hmm. staples later, you know, that I'm just looking at my arm and it takes me right back to that night. And, mm-hmm. you know, just the terrible, terrible thing that had to happen and had happened to us that night. And mm-hmm. while one lives and one dies, only God knows that. And, you know, I'm just mm-hmm. thankful to still be here, still be alive. And, you know, Kevin lost his life that night, but, mm-hmm. you know, I found out later that he was a Christian, so I know that he's in heaven with God and in no pain and definitely in a better place than we are.
Amen, amen. I mean, you know, but do you know, like, you know, what was the reasoning behind all this? How did this come to be? I know, you know, it took almost a decade to figure, you know, who this was that caused this. And I believe his name is Richard D'Antonio. Why would someone do such a thing? Do you know?
Well, I mean, I didn't know anything at the time. I mean, I was a 21-year-old kid from Texas, and I grew up in a town of about 1,300, 1,400 people, and you know, I mean, anything like this, I mean, you see it on TV, you'd never think anything like this could happen to you or you would be involved in something
right.
like this happening to you. But and Kevin, I believe, was 24, I believe, at the time. So he was just a couple of years older than me. But what it all boiled down to, now that 14 years after the murder and the crime, what they say it all was about was Kevin, as I said, was a chart manager for Cashbox magazine. And, you know, back in the early 80s, Cashbox was a rivalry to Billboard magazine. And my understanding, there were record promoters that were working records that were trying to give Kevin money to move their records up in the charts, and he wouldn't take it, and they took his life because of it.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, you know, well, nowadays, I mean, things like that don't really happen. I mean, people do it, you know, like how Kevin Hughes wanted to do it. He wanted to do it the right way. You know, he wanted his music to take him the way, which is, you know, what you're supposed to do. But why do you think it took more than, like, you know, a decade to figure out who did this? I mean, why do you think it was kind of like a cover-up a little bit in the beginning?
You know, I wished I had the answers for that. I mean, I can't, you know, it still, you know, bothers me that it took somebody 14 years to find out who, why, and what this was all about. I mean, you know, I mean, if you and I would have done something like that, we'd probably been in jail within hours, you know. I mean, I don't have an answer why it took 14 years. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are so happy that you are with us and, you know, telling your story. I mean, it's so commendable because, you know, I know it's really hard to talk about, but, you know, you share your story with your fans. And can you share with us a little bit about your recovery and how that all happened?
Well, that night that we got shot, Josie, they operated on me. I believe they said it was about 18 hours that they operated on me that night, and they had to regraft an artery in my arm and do a nerve graft that night. But if the artery graft hadn't took, they'd had to cut my arm off. And I was lucky enough that it did take. And I was in the hospital for about a week or week and a half, and then was released. But I was going to have to go through a second operation at some point in time. We didn't know exactly when that was going to happen. So whenever they were operating on me that night, they put a synthetic wrap around my nerves and my arm, and 3 or 4 months later, I ended up having to have a second operation, and for a nerve graft in my arm.
Wow. That is crazy. That is just so, so crazy. But, you know, do you, you know, I mean, I know that, it, of course, the physical damages, but do you still have kind of the, you know, the, like, how do I say it? Like, kind of, you know, mentally, how did that affect your life? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it definitely, you know, that night changed my life forever. I mean, I'm not... I used to be a happy-go-lucky guy, kind of make everybody laugh, and, you know, definitely that night changed my life forever. It's you know, I definitely don't take life for granted, and don't take things for granted anymore, that's for sure. And I guess it's kind of made me a more serious person. I mean, it's hard for me to trust people, and, you know, it's just made it very hard, you know, definitely very hard to trust people. And, you know, I had to live my life for a long time wondering if anybody was trying to kill me or what this was all about, because I didn't know, you know.
Right, right. I mean, I can, you know, only just imagine. I mean, you're constantly, you know, turning your back or, you know, kind of seeing your surroundings. I mean, I can only imagine how crazy that was for you. You know, and now just, you know, hearing it all come back, you know, years later, people are, you know, finally talking about it again. What's it like for you when you hear someone speaking, you know, about murder on Music Row or singing about it? How does that make you feel?
Well, you know, it's definitely, you know, I can't change what has happened to us. And definitely, you know, I mean, it's a part of no matter what, I mean, it's a part of country music history, regardless, you know, of how it happened and why it happened. I mean, it's a part of me, and it'll always be a part of me. There's nothing I can do about it. But, you know, Larry Cordell wrote Murder on Music Row that Alan Jackson and George Strait recorded, and that song came about because of what happened to Kevin and myself, you know, and, you know, it's just a terrible thing that had to happen to two people. And, you know, Kevin Hughes mm-hmm. lost his life for being an honest man and being a good person. And it's a shame that somebody could do these kind of things to someone.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And just everything that people, you know, already know about it. Is there anything about Murder on Music Row that not a lot of those people know about? Is there anything else that you, you know, that you could share with us about it?
Well, I mean, it's you know, the reason that it happened was because of you know, people trying to give Kevin money to work their records and you mm-hmm. know, and he wouldn't do it. And I mean, it's a shame that the business and somebody had to do something like that. You know, really, I mean, for me, I think, you know, things should be done with your talent. You know, it should be about the music and your talent, and mm-hmm. You know, not about what you look like and how old you are and you know, that kind of thing. You know, I just think success should be on your talent, but that's not how it works.
Right, I agree. I think you know, you should lead with your music. Let your music do the talking. You know what I mean?
People, you know, I mean, there are so many, there are so many talented and great singers and songwriters out here that will never get the chance to do anything just because someone won't give them a chance to be heard or give them the mm-hmm. opportunity. And there's just a lot of talented singers and songwriters out here that will never get the opportunity to do anything because they won't give them a chance to do it.
Right, exactly. And I know throughout, you know, all of your recovery and through all this, I bet you just kept the music in your heart until you were able to come back and share it with all of us. Is that right?
I did. You know, I traveled, you know, that night that this all happened to us, it changed my life, obviously, forever. And it took 2 years for me to recover from all of it and get back up on my feet. I had to go through, like I said, two operations, the first mm-hmm. one being 18 hours, and the second one, I'll always be grateful to Al Gore, because at the time Al was a senator of Tennessee, and he's responsible for helping me get my second operation with a surgeon that operated on his son down in New Orleans.
Wow.
And he called the surgeon that operated on his son in New Orleans, which they didn't take out-of-state patients at that time, and he called the surgeon that operated on his son and called me at home and talked to me for about 15 minutes and said, I've talked to him, and all you got to do is go to New Orleans. And the guy that was a top two surgeon in neurosurgeon at the time is a guy that repaired my arm on my nerve graft.
Wow. I think you are incredible for sharing your story, and you have new music out that I know everyone is very, very excited about. I'm very excited about it. I got your CD, and I absolutely love it, Heart Shaped Like Texas, and it is incredible, guys. You have to check it out. Can you tell us about some of the music that you have out right now, including your new CD, Heart Shaped Like Texas? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Heart Shaped Like Texas is the title of my new album, and you know, since I got my career going again and got back out, mm-hmm. I've had two record deals, and both of them, once I've gotten the record deals, they've either, because of restructuring at the label or buyouts, they've either ended up closing the Nashville Country Division or shutting down the label. So due to that, my music has not been able to get to the people and get out the way would hope for it to have gotten out. My last record deal was with Koch Records there in Nashville, which Koch is out of New York, but they got bought out by E1 Entertainment, which is now the company that my latest album was on. But they shut down the country division in Nashville, and so it's kind of left our music kind of unheard. But we have gotten the album back, and we're going to probably be re-releasing the album, and we're in talks right now with another label to do some things. So hopefully that'll be resurfacing here before too long.
Yeah, I seen that on Facebook where you said something about it, and just congratulations. That's so, so cool and well-deserved, too. You know, I love it. I love your new CD. It's incredible.
Well, I think it's got some really good songs on it. Steve Warner was gracious enough to give us a song him and Bill Anderson wrote, and then Steve came in and sang with me on the record, and Steve's been a friend and a big influence in my music and my career for a long time, and to have him to come in and sing with us on the album was just a thrill for us, you know.
Yeah. Wow, that's so cool. And, you know, we have your CD, like I said, Heart Shaped Like Texas, and we have some of your songs that I know everybody is just waiting for us to get to, so I'm not going to delay. But I'm going to let you choose. What would you like us to play first tonight? Which one do you think would be a good one to start off?
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you play the first cut on there, which is called I Want to Be Loved by You. And Bernie Nelson and Shane Teeters wrote this song, and just a great feel-good up-tempo song, and it's called I Want to Be Loved by You. So why don't you spin that one?
Ah, we got it. Here we go. I Want to Be Loved by You by Sammy Sadler. Check it out. Here we go.
I have come to the simple conclusion life can be one box of confusion. As I fumble through its latest illusions, I know this much is true. Like everyone else, I've got my dreams. If I had my way, I'd want everything. And most of all, I want to be loved by you. I want a big black truck with wheels on it. I live my life somewhere in the middle. Darling, it ain't no great big riddle what it takes to get me through. I've got a bottom line budget with champagne taste. I set my sights a little higher each day. And most of all, I want to be loved by you. Wake up. I want to be loved by you.
Man, that was I Want to Be Loved by You by Sammy Sadler, and we're back with him right now. It is such an amazing song. I loved it. Amazing, amazing. I think that was a perfect song to start the night out with. It was incredible.
Yeah. Thank you.
No problem. Before we get to more, Sonny Foster wanted to say hi. Say hey.
Tell Sonny I said hello.
Awesome. I big kudos to him. I thank him so much for hooking us up. I mean, he got this to where we are now. So thank you so much, Sonny, for getting Sammy on. Big thank
yeah,
you.
Tell Sonny I said hello. He's been a good friend and done some things with us, and tell him I said hello, please.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. He's probably listening in right now, so he's got that. He's good.
That's good. Awesome. Sonny, yeah. You stay out of trouble, brother.
I love it. And, you know, before we get to some more of your great, great music, where can our listeners go to purchase all of your music? Where can we go?
Well, it's on iTunes, and you can go to SammySadler.com and order the album off of my website. And I'm sure that you can order it, you know, through any trade, you know, Best Buy, anybody that you can order it through.
Perfect. So it's very easy. You will definitely be able to find it. And, you know, if worst comes to worst, just type in Sammy Sadler on Google. I mean, Google is my friend. Just go there, and you'll be able to find it. But please, please go to his website. And we're going to actually post your website after the show pretty much on all of our pages so they can just click away and find your music there. Easy.
Great. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anytime. So also, I know that you are on some social networking sites like Facebook. Where's the best places where your fans can chat with you? Give us some links.
They can just, go to Facebook or SammySadler.com and email me, and we will definitely try to get back to them as quick as possible.
Perfect. So please, please make sure you guys do that, like, add, follow, subscribe, all of the above. Just do it. And is there one song that stands out in your mind on your new CD that you just love to play over and over that you're just like, I did a good job on that one? Which song would that be?
Oh, man, I tell you, it's, albums are like your baby, you know, they're hard to, once you do them, you know, I mean, obviously I try to cut songs that touch me and that moves me, and I feel like if it doesn't move me, and you know, I don't feel like it's gonna touch my audience or my fans. So I try to record songs that I relate to and that touch me, and so every song that I do is special to me. But I tell you, Tom Payton has been a good friend of mine for 20 years in Nashville, and him and I go way, way back, and him and Sonny Steel wrote a song on my album called No Place to Land. And if there's anybody out there that's looking for love and you're ready to fall, but you just haven't found that right person, this song, I think you can relate to it. Definitely was my theme song for a long time. But No Place to Land probably is a song that touches me a lot, and also a good friend of mine wrote it.
Wow. I have to say, what I really, really love about the CD, and that I know a lot of other fans and, you know, friends out there that will, you know, just love the CD, is because you can tell that it comes from you, and it's not like, you know, a far-fetched, you know, made-up thing, you know what I mean? It's very relatable, and a lot of people can relate to it in their daily lives, which I think is very important. Those are kind of like my go-to songs when they have meaning. So it's perfect.
Well, I appreciate that, Jill. Like I said, I mean, it's the songs, if they don't touch me, I don't feel like it's going to touch them, you know, the audience or my fans that are listening to it. So it's definitely, they're definitely songs that are close to my heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for people who want to check you out live or, you know, want to see what you're doing, do you have any upcoming performances planned where our listeners can go and see you?
Well, we're working on some things right now. Like I said, we're in the works. We're talking to a new label in Germany, as a matter of fact. I went over to London last September and played the British Country Music Awards over there, and while I was there. I've been in contact and in the process of working on a new album. We're in the process of cutting new material now, and I've got a label in Germany that's offered us a deal over there. So we may be going to Europe and playing some quite a few dates over there next year. I just recently, last year, was on tour with Doug Stone, and I were together doing a tour together, and we just come off of that about 8 or 9 months ago, and we're regrouping and getting ready to put some things together to go back out and start touring here in the States, and hopefully we'll be back out on the road here in the next few months.
Sounds good. That's very exciting. You have to let me know when your new music comes out and when you're performing. We definitely would love to come out and see you perform. That would be incredible. We'd definitely make a trip out of it.
That'd be awesome.
Yes. Yes, definitely. It's on my bucket list. I'm telling you right now. We are definitely going to make it happen so I can see you live. but we have more songs that we would love to play of yours. So what's the next song that we should play? What do you think? Which one's next?
why don't you play the one that Steve Warner and Bill Anderson wrote that Steve came in and sang with me on? It's called I'll Always Have Denver.
Yes, well, let's do it. I'll Always Have Denver by Sammy Sadler. Here we go.
Weekend in Atlanta was a total disaster. We argued and you caught the first plane home. We made up and went to Memphis, but there wasn't any difference. We were there together, but alone. So we tried a beach in Texas, a casino in Las Vegas. Once we even tried Niagara Falls. But your world and mine collided. One day you decided we weren't made for each other after all. But I'll always have Denver and that summer to remember. Moonlight in the Rockies, starlight in your eyes. On a mountaintop together, we pledged our love. There's nothing that could ever take from me what I remember. I'll always have Denver. Could a love so warm and tender grow so cold and bitter? How could all I gave not be enough? Staring at the ceiling, it's a painful, empty feeling. I don't have you, and I don't have your love. But I'll always have Denver and that summer to remember. Moonlight in the Rockies, starlight in your eyes. On a mountaintop together, take from me what I remember. I'll always have Denver.
And that was I'll Always Have Denver by Sammy Fedler. Yeah. And featuring Steve Warner. That was incredible. You guys sounded really good. Loved it.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, yes. I'm so glad that we got to play that one, both of the songs that we got to play. And a little bit later, we're going to play a couple more. So, you know, everyone, please stay tuned. You won't want to miss it. And we have some fun questions here for you. Let's do it. So, first one here, who have you met that has made the biggest impression on you in your career? Who would you say?
Well, again, I guess I'd have to go back, you know, like I said, Steve has been a big influence on my music for a long time, and one of the nicest guys in country music, so I'd have to say Steve Warner.
Perfect. Good answer. Good answer. And when you're not working on music, what are some things that you like to do for fun? Some hobbies?
Well, I play golf and fish and just try to relax, really.
Yes. You need it. I mean, you know, you got to keep a good balance. You have to work, and then also you get to play. Got to work
play
on
a little.
It. Play a little. Exactly. Exactly. Love it. Love it. And so another question here before we have to let you go, because we are running out of time, but what is one thing that you would love to tell your new fans, your audience, any advice for any upcoming singers, songwriters out there? What would you say?
I would just, anybody that's in any genre of this business, just, you know, believe in yourself. Believe in what you do, and hopefully that you'll meet the right people and the right contacts that can help you further your career. You know, this business it's not just about talent. I mean, obviously you have to have some talent, but it's all political, and there's a lot of things that have to go on in it. But you know, believe in yourself, never give up. Believe in God; He'll take you all the way. Just keep yourself grounded, and just believe in yourself.
Love it. Those are some wise words. So listen to Sammy. And I thank you so much for sharing your story and chatting with me about music. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me tonight. Loved it.
Josie, thank you so much for having us on your show. And before we go,
yes.
I just want to let everybody know that this Thursday night on the ID channel, on DirecTV, I believe it's channel 285, NBC has recreated the Murder on Music Row, and it's coming out on the ID channel on DirecTV this Thursday night, I believe at 8 o'clock, and they're rerunning the Murder on Music Row of what happened to Kevin and myself, so anybody that wants to watch that, please tell them about it. And thank you again for having us on your show. And keep us in your prayers, and keep Kevin's family in your prayers.
Oh, we will. We will. And I thank you so much. And we definitely will be watching. And I'm very excited about that. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you really soon, okay?
Thanks, Josie. Have a great evening.
You too. Thank you so much. Sammy Fedler, everyone. Yes. Awesome. It was such an honor to chat with the wonderful Sammy Fedler, and I'm so glad that we got to talk to him about, you know, his experience. I mean, you could hear, you know, stories about it from, you know, passed on from person to person, but it's a completely different thing when you get to hear it from someone who was actually there. And I pray for Kevin Hughes and his family, you know, and I pray for Kevin. You know, he sounded like such an amazing, amazing, amazing human being. And also I pray for Sammy Sadler as he, you know, as he starts his new venture and does everything that he wants to do. And I was just so honored that I got to feature him tonight. And, you know, hearing it right from the person that was actually there, you know, means everything. So I thank him so, so much. Sammy Sadler, please make sure you check him out on his website. And we are going to post it all over the place, so don't you worry. Now, I want to play a couple more songs from Sammy Sadler, as we promised. So let's play his title track called Heart Shaped Like Texas, and we will be right back. Here we go.
Cowgirl at heart. She drives a shiny blue dually, pulls a gooseneck trailer. She's never on the car. There's a Lone Star flag waving in the wind on her front porch. Amarillo by morning's her favorite song. Yeah, she's proud of where she was born. I bet her heart's even shaped like Texas, with a Rio Grande River running right down through her soul. Oh, good looks ain't all she's been blessed with. I bet her heart sees a shape like Texas. Yeah. I bet her heart's even shaped like Texas, with the Rio Grande River running right down through her soul. Good looks ain't all she's been blessed with. I bet her heart's even shaped like Texas. I bet her heart's even shaped like Texas.
Was Heart Shaped Like Texas by Sammy Sadler. Now we have one more song that we want to play tonight. So let's play If This Ain't Heaven. Let's be right back. Check it out.
We could use some rain. Things are dry. Money's tight, but we're getting by. There's a cool wind blowing down a dusty road. If this ain't heaven, it's the same zip code. Kids are climbing that old oak tree. Angels crying 'cause you skint your knees. Folks drop by just to say hello. But this ain't heaven. It's the same zip code. We can't be too far from the gates of kingdom come. Looking out across these fields of gold. Beyond the city lights, a million stars come out at night to put on a show. Waking up, it's paradise. With you here by my side, when I die, I won't have far to go. If this ain't heaven, it's the same as it cold. Zip code.
Yes. Love it. And that was If This Ain't Heaven by Sammy Sadler. And remember to please, please check out his website at sammysadler.com, sammysadler.com. And also he's on Facebook, so type in his name on Facebook and he'll pop up. So please make sure you do that to find out where he's going to be, you know, if he's when he's going to be on tour, when, you know, his new music's going to come out, about his recent music right now, and just talk to him. He's a really nice guy, and he's awesome. So please, please make sure you get in contact. Check it all out. And also, once again, I just want to thank Sammy Sadler so, so much for coming on the show and taking the time. It was just such an honor to chat with him, you know, and hear a story straight from himself. And thank you all so, so much for tuning in tonight. And I will see you right back here on Friday. And remember, sometimes you have to turn your world upside down to chase your dreams. However, remember to make good friends along the way and enjoy the whole journey. Good night, everyone. Ha ha ha.